Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so swing on over there, catch up what went on yesterday. And, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
Yeah, so Dan and I were discussing our FanDuel disasters last night. The lineup I put together that featured Rich Hill scored 127.9 points. And sadly, as you know, Dan started Jeff Hoffman, and the Diamondbacks scored 16 runs. So that's pretty much all you need to know on how Dan's day went. we were talking. I was kind of going with White Sox yesterday. I had read that they were supposed to, according to oddshark.com, they were going to score approximately, 6.5 to 7 runs yesterday. Well, they scored 2. So of course I ate it big time as Jose Abreu took a 0 and Tim Anderson took a 0. So that pretty much ended my day there. But yeah, I was looking at the winner, Dan, the guy who won this thing scored 289.30 points. And we always talk about value. If you happen to plug Martin Maldonado into your lineup as your catcher yesterday, you paid $2,100 for him, and he scored 50.4 points. So, yeah, not a bad option there if you happen to go that route. So, but let's let us truck on here, Dan. I got my free roll all set up here, and here's what I'm going with tonight. Top of the board, a pitcher. I'm going with Luis Severino for $9,800. He's pitching for the Yankees against the Angels tonight. I'm hoping the Yankees are out of their slump and they can hit here. Catching, I'm going with Wilson Contreras. He's hitting third for the Cubs today. He's $2,700. At first base, I'm sticking with the Cubs. It's a lot of money here, but I'm going with Anthony Rizzo at $4,800. And, of course, he's their new leadoff man. Second base, I got another leadoff man, and I'm actually on the opposite side of that Cub game. I got D. Gordon of the Marlins for $3,200. Third base, I got Nick Castellanos of the Tigers for $2,600. He's hitting sixth in their lineup. Shortstop, I'm going with Francisco Lindor of the Indians. He's leading off for them tonight. Going to cost you $3,400. Went back to the Tigers again here. I got J.D. Martinez for $3,900. He's hitting cleanup tonight. And then my other two outfielders cost me $2,300. I wanted another Indian, but I wasn't quite sure where to go. So I decided to save some money and go with Daniel Robertson, who's $2,300, and he's hitting ninth in their lineup. And then I actually added a third Cub. I've always been kind of an Alberto Almora fan, and I want to see him get some playing time. He's hitting sixth. He'll cost you $2,300. I like the matchup against Jeff Locke tonight. He's not a hard-throwing lefty. He's more of a soft-toss guy, try to get you out with, the breaking stuff. And I think this will play better in Almora's game. I think he's got an opportunity to have a big night. So the quick recap. Severino pitching, Contreras catching, Rizzo at first, Gordon at second, Castellanos at third, Lindor at short, and the outfield is Martinez, that's JD, Daniel Robertson, and Almora. So there you go. That's what I'm going with for the free roll tonight, and we'll see how it shakes out.
It's probably going to be a bad night because we have too many of the same guys.
Yeah, that's always the death when, anytime we pick similar guys. But, I noticed, maybe not because, there's not a ton of choices because, obviously it's a shorter schedule with a lot of, afternoon games and stuff.
Yeah, but I went with Daniel Norris. I want to see if, right now I'm with Boynton Castillo, Cody Bellinger, Javi Baez, another Dodger, Justin Turner, Didi Gregorius, Aaron Judge, JD Martinez, and Albert Almora Jr. So I kind of stacked it up.
Yeah, I thought about loading up on Dodgers. The only reason I didn't is because they're facing a lefty. And I'm wondering if maybe he'll have Steven Matz. I'm wondering if he'll have a little luck against. I really liked Corey Seager, and I kind of stayed away from it. And normally when I stay away from the guy, well, that's it. The guy goes off and has a big night. So if you're playing Corey Seager, it may work out for you. I don't know who's got him in their lineup or not. And always, I forgot to mention, this is the 605 main league like we always do. So you got a little over 24 minutes to get your lineup in. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how the Dodd do tonight. I was I didn't get any of them in my lineup, and I'm wondering if that's going to kind of come back to be my downfall tonight, because obviously they've been really good. So, we'll see. So, but yeah, I mentioned we did have some games. We had four finals and two games that are rolling along. The White Sox game finally got underway. They were, I believe they were supposed to be a 1 o'clock start, but they just got going because of rain. The White Sox actually jumped out to a 5-0 lead in the first inning. Minnesota's up with one out in the bottom of the first. The other game actively going, Houston is up on Oakland 12-6. Oakland is batting with one out in the bottom of the eighth inning. The four finals are the Phillies beat the Cardinals 5-1. Aaron Nola got the win. Carlos Martinez took the loss. The Rangers beat the Blue Jays 11-4. Martin Perez got the win. Marcus Stroman took the loss. The Brewers beat the Pirates 4-2. Chase Anderson got the win. Ivan Nova got the loss. And the only save so far today goes to Corey Niebel of the Brewers there. And then the Diamondbacks got back to double digits again. Dan, they put up 10 on the Rockies today. They won 10-3 as Zach Godley picked up the win and Antonio Senzatella took the loss. So there you go. You're all caught up on who did what and who's actually doing what. So Dan, it looks like you're going to have to put away your Chicago Cubs Kyle Schwarber jersey and break out your Iowa Cubs Kyle Schwarber jersey for a little while, huh?
Please elaborate.
They sent him to Iowa today.
But you can't do that. He's a World Series hero.
Yep. So, I've heard it described as a whole bunch of different things. I believe somebody called it a pit stop. So, they also put Jason Hayward on the DL. So to fill the spots, they brought up Mark Zagunas, who's actually starting, I believe, in right field tonight, and Dylan Florio, the pitcher, who's been up and down a few times. But yeah, as you know, Schwarber is hitting a whopping 171, so he's not even hitting his weight. And he does have 12 homers. But, yeah, he's going to spend what everybody believes is a very short period of time in Iowa. And then he will be returning to take over left field. So what do you think, Dan? Should they have done this earlier?
They should have done this probably 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So... Now, I heard somebody actually make a very good point that they believe leading him off really hurt him, and he didn't get off to a quick start. Are you in that camp? Are you buying that a little bit, or where do you stand on this?
I would say kind of. I mean, I kind of expressed a week or two ago that they always say, and I think the expectation put upon himself was too high. And when he didn't produce like he was supposed to, I think he just dug himself deeper. And the stubbornness of the man.
Yeah, and
and that's what I think is kind of rubs you the wrong way, is this, Madden's so quick to move things around when he feels like it, but when everyone else is noticing something and it's painfully obvious, that's when he sticks to his guns.
You kind of walked right into my next question. I was going to ask you, do you think they left him up there too long? Because, once he struggled, he stayed there. They didn't make any type of moves. They just let him flounder in the leadoff spot for basically the first month of the season. Do you think that went into it too, or?
I think that was a big part of it. If there's ever a good phrase for Madden, it's the enigma for Joe Madden. I'm surprised it's not the title of the book, because if you, just look at his history with the Cubs, which isn't that far off, but remember Jason Hayward, he obviously wasn't beating off. He was higher up on the order. It wasn't working out, and as it didn't work out, he moved farther down in the order. So far down that eventually got to the point where he was given 4 days off. For Schwarber, we're just given like a day off here and there.
So, yeah, you wonder, and obviously they're not going to say, how much it affected him, but it would be interesting to know, how much mental went into this, with him. And, now again, they're calling it a pit stop or just a quick tune-up, however you want to look at it. How long do you think he's back before the All-Star break? You think they keep him down that long? What do you think the return is here, just in your head?
Oh, it's definitely before the All-Star break. I would, put out your speculation. I want to take a look at the schedule real quick.
You're going to predict a date exactly when he comes back? You're going to look at the schedule like, okay, he's coming back this day? So, you want to make sure you're at the ballpark that day? Is that what you're trying to figure it out?
No, where are we? We're at June 23rd. They're down in Miami. So he's definitely going to be out the entire series. He's going to be out all
next
week.
It's actually 22nd.
I'm wishing. But yeah, he's going to be out all next week. If anything, he comes back around July 6th or 7th, the 6th, they're at home with a makeup day for Milwaukee. But I don't know. I didn't realize All-Star was that close. So I would say he doesn't come back until after All-Star break. Maybe when the Cubs open up again.
Yeah, that might not be the worst thing, leaving down there for, what it works out to, about 3 weeks? Let him go down there and get his swings in, see how he does. And hopefully he comes back in, top form. He's back to being, as somebody put it today, the World Series hero, Kyle Schwarber. So there you go, Dan. I know he's your World Series hero.
No, Ben Zobrist is.
Yes. So, and I know in other Cubs, well, I guess kind of this is off the field news. I don't know if you saw this one, Dan. Addison Russell's wife officially filed for divorce, but she said she will not work with Major League Baseball on their investigation. Now, I believe Aroldis' Chapman girlfriend didn't talk to Major League Baseball either, and he still got suspended for 30 days. Do you think we're going to see a Russell suspension?
No, and I would say only because the police weren't involved. So they really have, what do you have to investigate? You have nothing to investigate.
So, yeah, that's, I know they're, they're a little weird. You always kind of wonder, just what they'll do. But, I'd like to think you're in the right here. I mean, they didn't really. And, it wasn't Addison Russell's wife who made these claims. It was a friend of hers, who made the wonderful Instagram post and then magically disappeared. So, don't get the cart out in front of the horse again here and, run Addison Russell out of town or, any of the stuff you guys did, that the media did to Patrick Kane before they knew the whole story. So, I guess we'll have to, have to see how baseball handles it. And who knows, maybe they'll find something, maybe they won't find anything. And hopefully there'll be suspension involved.
Yeah, and you mentioned Patrick Kane, but that's because one half of the biggest jerks in Chicago radio retired, so those accusations won't be thrown out there.
Yeah.
Jumping back to Kyle Schwarber for a second, the minor league All-Star game is July 12th, where Major League is July 11th. So, he would be off the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, likely be ready to come back in Baltimore on the 14th of July. So I really pegged that as the day that Schwarber comes back up.
Is it too late for him to make the minor league All-Star team?
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure if they had already decided there. He could go down, have a great few weeks, and they could write him in. So, but, yeah, it should, I'll have to make sure I go in and take him out of fantasy, and I have him in our money league. And with the home runs, he's actually still been managing to produce a little for us, but obviously he'll have to get benched next week because we don't get the Iowa Cup stats. That doesn't help us out. So, we'll have to see what goes on there.
Yeah. Now, yesterday before we ran out of time, you were asking about the fantasy league, and I've been just hit with the injury bug. For the auction league, I was in first in my division. For now, I'm about 20 games out, looking at 13 overall. So, this is a team with Schwarber, with Hayward, with Adrian Casal, Felix Hernandez, and Madison Baumgartner. And looking at that, actually, you're sitting there at number 7 in probably the hardest division. You have more wins than I do, obviously, because I'm 13 and you're 7. But I guess my question for you in this case, do I just give up on Adrian Gonzalez?
Yeah, it's a it's an interesting situation there. I mean, the question is, even when he comes back, has he really played well enough to warrant a spot as an everyday guy? And I know Bellinger could just go back to the outfield. It wouldn't be that huge of a deal. But yeah, it's definitely a very tough call. I mean, what was Gonzalez before he went here? Yeah, he was 255, so the average, it wasn't dreadful. I mean, that's not great for Adrian Gonzalez, but yeah, the fact that he only managed a one homer and 23 RBIs, you wonder if the injury was bothering him a little more before he went on the DL the first time and then came back. I just wonder how much of a lingering effect there was there that he didn't say anything about. Because, and while he's not a huge power hitter, one is obviously incredibly low total for somebody like that. So, but yeah, it's a tough decision to make.
I mean, for myself, I'm going to have to go through both teams and make some decisions. I have nobody, nothing to trade. I gave up on Ben Zobrist. I actually dropped him. So, you know, he'll get picked up, turn around, and drop after the All-Star break. But Sunday I'll be making all my decisions on my team. Of course, Saturday night, for sure. Comes first.
Yeah, it's, you know, this 10-day DL really wreaks havoc with fantasy owners. You know, because teams are just so easy to throw guys on it. So like, oh, yeah, just put him on a 10-day DL, no big deal. You know, if he's a starter, he only misses a couple starts. You know, if he's if he's an everyday guy, he's back in a couple weeks. You know, it's not too huge, but yeah, you know, I mean, just trying to juggle it is, you know, just insane. I know, you know, I had the issue like you did for a while where I had 10 players because we start, you know, the utility guy, and I couldn't change my lineup if I wanted to because everybody else was on the DL. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, great. Well, I got to ride this out a little bit and, you know, until we get whatever's done. And then I got everybody back and I made all my moves and I had my roster, and sure enough, guys started going right back on the DL. So I'm just wondering if, you know, maybe it's something we've got to, you know, or if maybe Yahoo's going to do something. I don't know if there's anything they actually can do about it. So.
No, I think with a 10-day DL, we might have to open it up to 5.
So yeah, that seems to be the answer, is having to jump in and make it larger so you can carry these guys. Cause yeah, I mean, they're just, you know, like I said, they're just turning around and dropping guys on the DL like it's nothing now. So.
But in the traditional league, frankly, I think top of my division in 8th place overall. You're oddly in 9th place. So I think you have some work to do to get in the playoffs in that division because you're sitting 4th in your league, which again turned out to be a tough, tough league. Oddly, the league I ended up in, I have, so don't have to worry about them. And then, but the guy behind me is only about 11 and a half games.
So yeah, you know, I've been, like, I'm off to a good start this week. If I can put up good numbers, hopefully I can, you know, close that gap a little more on the, you know, the 8th guy. That would be a big, you know, actually you're the 8th guy. So I have to close the gap on you. So,
yeah,
and then, yeah, you know what's odd is you're in 8th winning your division and Mr. Fantasy is in 7th winning his division. And I'm in 9th and I'm in 4th place in my division. my division is like, what, the NL West, where all the good teams are. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I every team in my division is over 500.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this was the one I kind of shot myself in the foot here. I made a trade that just didn't work out at all for me. I was kind of thinking that, you know, Danny Glover would have been a better choice for me. That Danny Salazar would have been an upgrade over Jeremy Hellickson, and I knew I could get Mr. Fantasy to make the swap because he's a big. Who did I deal him? Jake Lamb. So I knew I could get the swap no problem, and I figured it would be a huge upgrade for my pitching staff. And, of course, Salazar sucked a minute after I acquired him, ended up getting sent to the bullpen, and now he's on the DL. So. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it looked, it looked good at the time. You know, it was kind of like, okay, you know, this looks like could be a, you know, really good deal for me here. And I thought things would kind of roll my way, but nope, it just ended up sucking. So, you know, hopefully things just kind of shuffle out, and I, you know, I managed to figure it out as I'm going along here. But you know, the team's been holding up okay. I can't complain too much about it. So we'll see how we go here. You know, just those wonderful, wonderful, fun things you got to deal with. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, all the way around, somebody always kind of makes that trade and they're like, ah, crap, I shouldn't have made that trade. And yeah, that's where I am. I shouldn't have made the damn trade, but you know, we live and we learn. And then, you know, I got the third baseman from the Braves in that deal. And I think he's been on the DL since I made the trade. I think he got hurt the day I acquired him. And it was just kind of like, okay. You know, just kind of how it goes. So, but all right, Dan. Well, we got the NBA draft starting in about 3 minutes. Are you excited? You can't wait here.
I'm excited to get it over with.
You know, I mean, oddly, I think the best part about it is there's a ton of just huge rumors going around that's more fun to talk about than I think the draft. You know, it came out today that the Cavaliers and the Spurs had talks about the San Antonio sending Danny Green to Cleveland, but San Antonio wanted too much. And then news came out that San Antonio was willing to deal LaMarcus Aldridge if they could get into the top 10. So, you know, that was kind of fun that the Spurs of all teams, you know, not something they normally do, were actually kind of out eyeballing deals. You know, and then it came out a little later that the Denver Nuggets were trying to acquire either Eric Bledsoe or Jimmy Butler. It didn't really say what they were willing to give up. But, you know, just one more team chasing Jimmy Butler. You know, and then, of course, you know, your Knicks made some more news, Dan, as Phil Jackson did an interview talking about how, you know, Porzingis missed his exit interview and he thought that was a problem and they were looking to deal him. And apparently Boston has really stepped up. So we may see that happen. And then one of the prospects, let me see if they actually got his name here. Jay Williams reported it, but they didn't give the prospect a name. And they actually said that Phil Jack fell asleep during his workout. So I'm guessing the Knicks won't be picking that guy, huh? So, you know, it just seems like these are more fun than the actual draft, aren't they?
Well, I mean, my favorite today was LeVar and Tom LeBron to come to Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that'll be an ongoing thing with him, you know. I guess he'll be the Lakers' new recruiter, huh?
I mean, at least he's willing to do it.
So yes, unlike our friend Derrick Rose. So, but yeah, you know, the first few picks should be interesting. You know, the thing I still hate about the NBA, and I think you dislike it as well, is, you know, if these guys make trades, you know, you don't find out about it. It's like, well, you have to pick this guy and then you can trade him. Like, just let him make the trade and let the team who made the trade make the damn pick. You know, because they run the kid out there, you know, like they'll take a picture in one team's hat and hold up the number one jersey, and then he's traded somewhere else. It's like, God, this is really stupid. So I don't know. Are you in line with that, or do you, I mean, do you like the way the NBA does this?
No, I mean, I think it's pretty stupid. But, you know, with all that time wasted in between picks and everything, you might as well just let the team that has the pick take a pick instead of, well, the Boston Celtics are picking blah, blah, blah for the Atlanta Hawks.
Right. You know, we picked this guy to send him here. Okay, great. Thanks. Why didn't you just make the trade and then let them pick the guy they wanted to pick? It seemed easy enough. So, I have to ask, and I have to make sure that it wasn't you, because I know, you know, you like to spend money, and you get out there with your auctions and stuff, and you can get a little carried away. A jersey believed to Dan, that's the key word here, to have been worn by Michael Jordan at the 1984 Olympics, sold today for $273,904. Please tell me you didn't buy it.
I wish I had one to auction off for that much.
So, yeah, I just find it odd that it's believed to have been worn. It was auctioned off by a company called Gray Flannel Auctions, and their official said that it matched all the markings compared with a photo of the uniform. So whoever bought this, and I don't believe it says who it did, no, it does not, may not even be getting an authentic game-worn jersey. It's just believed to have been jersey. And then the previous record here, Dan, was back in 2001. Somebody paid $190,414 for an ABA jersey of the Virginia Squires that was worn by Dr. J. And then we sold some Jordan shoes last week. They were from the gold medal game in the 1984 Olympics. The shoes cost $190,373. Which, of course, was the most ever paid for a pair of athletic shoes. Not counting if you buy the Lonzo Ball model from Big Baller Brand. So, I don't know, Dan. Is that a little... Are you paying that? If you had that money, are you paying that?
No.
So, or should I say, if you weren't married and you... If you weren't married and you had that kind of money, would you be paying that? So,
I mean, if I was a billionaire,
you know, and I want to know what happened, Dan, if you walked in the door and you said, honey, I paid $273,000 for a Michael Jordan jersey, what would she say to you?
We don't even have that.
So, you know, just those fun things. Yeah, I guess if you have the money, it's fun to do, but I don't know if I'm paying $273,000 for a jersey that's just matches, you know, give me some authentication, you know, some authentication or, you know, something like that. I can't go. Could you? I mean, could you do that? I mean, even if you had it and you could do it, would you, for something that doesn't have any authentication?
Oh, definitely not for no authentication. I mean, I can run mine around for the one I have around and pass it off as one of his.
Yeah, it just, you know, I mean, again, you know, good luck if... you know, that's what you want to do and you have the money to do it, hey, cool, but not this guy. I can't go that route. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, the one thing, you know, like some of the positives I like going kind of back to the NBA draft is I like that the time in between picks isn't as long as like the NFL draft. I think it's only like 5 or 7 minutes between picks, so it's actually watchable. Where, you know, the NFL is like 15 minutes for the first round, and you just don't sit there for that. So at least they try to keep it moving. You know, it'll give me the opportunity to possibly, you know, actually still be awake when the Bulls pick at, what is it, 16 or something like that? Do you remember? I can look here real quick. Yeah, 16.
16 and like 30.
Yeah, well, I won't make it to the second round. That's just kind of, you know, how it goes. But, you know, at least, you know, it'd be nice to at least get to pick 16 and see who the Bulls do select, even though I probably won't know who the heck it is. So,
and what time is it in?
Well, they say it was scheduled to start at 6 p.m., so it should have started 7 minutes ago. But as you know, the good old Mickey Mouse Network has to do all their, you know, pre-show stuff. Even though they've been doing it all day, the whole day has been a pre-show to the NBA draft. But now they're doing the official pre-show. So even though it technically started 7 minutes ago, no picks have been made.
Because I love that it has no time on there. You just have to pay and go to the official NBA app.
Yeah, well, you know, they're probably like, you know, you and I going, well, why didn't it start yet? You know, they said 6 o'clock, what's going on? But again, you know, this is their meal ticket. You know, they paid all the money for this league, so they're going to try to get every single penny out of it. I know, you know, I play Streak for the cash on their website just for fun because I suck at it. Anytime I really get rolling, I get a loss on something stupid like a soccer game. So, you know, just one of those things. And, like, all the choices from, like, here till almost the entire end of the day are just about the NBA draft. So, you know, they're really, you know, really banking on it. I can pull one of them up here because I actually picked one. The one I picked was they had the second pick in the draft. Will the Lakers take Lonzo Ball? So, you know, I of course took yes because I'm pretty sure they're going to do that. And then some of the other things they have here, who goes first, Malik Monk or Dennis Smith Jr.? Which college will have the number 15th overall pick? Which will it be from? Duke or UCLA or any other college? So what else do we have here? Yeah, as we're rolling out here, the last three are, will Josh Hart from Villanova be drafted in the first round? Obviously just a yes or no one. Will the 33rd overall pick be from a Power 5 conference? And then it wraps up with the last one for the night is, which conference will have more players drafted during the 40th and 50th overall picks, the Pac-12 or the Big Ten? So now realize there are a bunch of baseball games going on as well. You know, there are, I mean, I get it, it's Thursday night, but there still are four or five games rolling out there. No baseball selections at all. It's strictly basketball to end night. So that, you know, like I said, again, that's obviously where their money is. And, you know, that's how, you know, I guess it makes sense. I mean, you know, Dan and I both know that, you know, it's cream, of course, you know, cash rules everything around me. And that's where the NBA, that's where the, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network has their money is in the NBA. So, Oh, so Dan, I was sitting on my couch today and I was trying to figure out what was going on with the White Sox game. I didn't realize they were in a rain delay yet. And literally, somebody started hammering on my door. And I was like, whoa, whoa, hang on. You know, and obviously, you know, I'm a little slow getting off the couch and getting to the door with my knee. So I'm like, hang on, I'll be right there. Well, I opened the door and, well, damn, there's nobody there. But I looked down and, oh, hey, look, there's this white bag sitting there. So I grabbed this white bag and I sit back down and I open it up and, oh, yeah, that's right, I won the bet. So my Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup shirt showed up today. The autographs on the back are a nice touch compared to the names. I kind of like that. So I will have to get a photo and get it up on Twitter and Facebook and stuff for everybody when I, you know, when I get the opportunity here. But yes, my your payoff did arrive today.
It's not at your door.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was my regular guy. I think it might, you know how the post office has the special guys who deliver packages. So I believe it was, one of those guys who ended up bringing it here. But yeah, it was quite interesting. I mean, he really hammered the door. I mean, he wanted to make sure I knew he was there. So I was just kind of like, wow, okay, hang on, but.
Well, you know, I'm usually, I got the notification, and I know I sent you, as are, you know, not sports related, but I sent you the notification, and they said it shipped Monday, which they work with your competitor, those Fanatics, pretty much the only website that you and I purchase our stuff from. And, you know, I honestly, I can get it until tomorrow or Saturday. So I'm a little bit surprised that it came today for you.
Yeah, I was pretty happy. I was expecting it to, well, to be honest, I was expecting to have to go to the post office and chase it down. you know, because that's normally what I have to do there. So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those fun things I have to do, because even though I do live in a secure building, for whatever reason, my mailman just won't leave them for me. So.
Yeah, but you did like that one, because to be honest, I kind of liked the other one. Well, it was between those two, but the other one, of course, if you follow us on Twitter, at Danzy Man at Burke Time, they had, like, I think little jerseys, maybe, and with each guy's name on it. And I always tell you, for me personally, whenever it's my team, like it was the Giants or the Cubs, I think the one you got me may have been that way too, but for Pittsburgh last year. But I don't know. I always like the ones with the guys' names on, you know, the team's names on the back. I actually waited. I always check the clearance sections on, you know, Fanatics and MLB Shop, and I picked up the Kansas City Royals T-shirt because it was only $10, and they had like a free shipping thing going on. So how can you pass it up? And it has names on it. I just think that's a cool way to commemorate, you know, the championship. And, you know, so that's what I was looking for you. And like I said, I was amazed because I don't remember if I stayed up for that whole game, but by 7:10 the next morning, the shirt I originally wanted to get you was already sold out. I mean, not just in your size. It was sold out. They had no more left. So, but I think, you know, the runner-up that I sent you, it was between those two. So I flipped the coin, but you know, like I said, the other one was completely sold out by 7:10 a.m., which I thought was pretty amazing. The only thing I don't like is the fact that New Era hasn't come out with like to commemorate their back-to-back. Well, they did a snapback, and I know you don't like those. I don't like those. So I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
They're not, if it's not the Blackhawks, I guess they only pick big sellers, right? But I would have thought that Pittsburgh would be a big seller, but I guess not.
Yeah, you would think they would. I'm sure, you know, hopefully they'll come out. They'll probably come out with something, I'm sure. But, I don't know. I would think Pittsburgh, why wouldn't Pittsburgh sell, you know, if the shirts sold out that fast? Because I think, like, last year when you won, I waited a full, like, almost 2 days before ordering. So, you know, and I had no problems getting you the shirt. So, you know, obviously this one went a lot quicker.
I mean, and I wasn't going to go to the NHL site just because, I don't know, I'm already set up on Fanatics, your address is, you know, everything's there. And
yeah.
Like I said, I think for you and I don't know, it's been the last, pretty much since we've been doing, you know, the podcast for the last 5-6 years, pretty much only gotten my stuff from Fanatics. And by the way, if you do shop on MLB Shop, guess who supplies their shipments? It's Fanatics, oddly. So, you know, they're pretty much the be-all to end-all to sports paraphernalia, as they say.
So, yeah, I think the only other place I actually ever bought from was that Fans Edge, which is comparable to Fanatics.
Well,
you know, it's not that big a difference. So,
yeah, well, guess who bought them? They're actually a subsidiary now of Fanatics.
Yeah, did they? I thought they had ended up buying them or something like that. I'm trying to remember because, I get, obviously I get emails from Fanatics like every day wanting me to buy stuff, you know, with, we got this going on or that going on. And there's one other company, and I can't remember the name of it, that I get emails from occasionally. So, but yeah, I mean, like, I don't think we've had any problems with any of the stuff, with the exception, of course, that, you know, Mr. Fantasy just doesn't wear his. So there probably are some homeless people out there with some pretty nice stuff that he's donated after I've shipped it to him. So if you see a homeless man in a Alshon Jeffries Bears jersey, the orange one, and a pullover White Sox hoodie with the blue emblem on front, I bought that for his birthday. So,
the Bears jersey.
Yeah, well, you know, I only threw that in because it was obviously with Jeffries gone, it was a sale item. You know, they were trying to get rid of him. They only had like 5 or 6 left. I thought the hoodie was cool. That's what his present actually was. I was like, I'll throw this in. What the hell? It's only a few extra bucks. You know how those reduced clearance things are. You see them and you're like, yeah, okay. But I'm willing to bet. I know we sent him the Johnny Manziel shirt, and that was for football season. And when he picked me up for the baseball draft, it was still in the trunk of his car. So it was still in the wrapping in the trunk of his car. So I'm willing to bet, sadly, none of the stuff doesn't get worn. But hopefully he's, donating it to some nice people who are getting some good use out of it, I guess. So that's one way to look at it.
Well, like you said,
it's my charitable donation.
Years ago when I picked Will Myers to be Rookie of the Year, you ordered me a tee, and it was pretty sweet. Sadly, when I ordered the Corey Seager, because I had, some fan points, that's how they get you to buy more stuff, fan Fanatics points. And, I ordered the T-shirt for Corey Seager, and I was a little disappointed, especially, it was one of those screen prints, but it was real small and kind of off-center. And, I opened it up, looked at it. I was like, man, this shirt actually kind of sucks. So I just emailed them, let them know. I'm like, this shirt really kind of sucks. I'm not really looking for anything. I just wanted to let you know, like, hey, here's, Will Myers. This one's pretty awesome. And then here's your Corey Seager. And it just flat out sucks. And they took a look at it, and they ended up emailing me back and giving me a credit for that shirt. So, what ended up happening is I spent more money with them, so I think that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, well, you know, that Will Myers shirt was awesome. So
I thought it was. I was like, this is awesome. So that's what I was expecting when I picked up Corey Seager, but it wasn't of the same caliber. But I will say I did get a cool Ricky Henderson jersey that was a size too large, and I was able to return it and get the right size with –
that was Tim Raines.
Tim Raines.
Or the Expos pullover,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I was able to return it and get it all back within a reasonable amount of time without any issues. But I think if you know, as we're really pushing for Fanatics, I always let them know that it was a gift so that they don't take away the shipping charge. Because, you know, if it's a normal thing that you bought for yourself, they sometimes don't give you back the shipping that they paid.
Yeah, you, you know, with as much as we're putting them here, I think it's time to send them that sponsorship letter, huh? So,
yeah.
You know, just kind of like, hey, guys, you know, we like FanDuel probably owes us too. You know, they're the other one who should be, you know, pumping us money since we pretty much talk about them every day. But
yeah, they've got any court problems, though, right now.
Yeah. Too much legal stuff to give us any money, even though it wouldn't cost them that much. We could help keep them alive. But, yeah, you know, like all the stuff that, you know, I've received that, well, pretty much you sent me, because I don't think Mr. Fantasy sent me anything from there. You know, it's been quality stuff. And, you know, I wear it to death. So, and what was it? You got a cool, was it a Quebec Nordique shirt or Hartford Whalers?
Hartford Whalers.
Oh. You know what I couldn't find that I've really, what I've really been looking for you that I couldn't find is a long time ago, there was an NHL team called the California Golden Seals. And I was just hoping Fanatics would print some of those. Yeah. And I just hadn't been able to find them. I was looking for some of their, you know, throwback stuff, as they call it. And, yeah, they just don't have, you know, have anything from the California Golden Seals. So maybe I'll have to email them and ask them about it and see what they can, see what they come up with, or, you know, if they got something somewhere. But, yeah, there's. You know, the sad part with all my useless sports knowledge is, you know, I remember all this crap. So, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember that team. And, you know, where did they go?
Yeah, well, you know, like you, I watched, I wouldn't say so much watched, but I dabbled in the NHL when I was a kid because of baseball cards or, you know, hockey cards. And, you know, and then I kind of got out of it for a while. So when I came back, you know, that's how we got on the Hartford Whalers. And I was so lost because I was like, where the hell does the North Star go?
Yeah.
And you're like, they went south.
Yep. So, yep, that's where they ended up. You know, well, now they're just the Stars. It's no longer the North Stars. So.
Yeah, but it works with them being in Cowboy territory, right?
Yeah, I guess. You know, it all kind of worked out for them. And, you know, Minnesota got a team back. Obviously, they got the Wild. So, you know, and then, you know, originally, you know, I don't know how many people remember this, but there was a hockey team in Colorado before the Avalanche, and they were actually called the Rockies. So the hockey team was the Rockies before the baseball team.
Pro NHL team?
Yeah. Yeah, they were an NHL team for, I don't think they ended up lasting very long. I'm trying to remember where the heck they went. You know, where they went after that. Oh boy, that's a tough one. Maybe not. So, you know, yeah, the Atlanta Thrashers, right?
Yeah.
Which went back to being the Winnipeg Jets. So, let's see if I can find it here. They were the Colorado Rockies from 1976 to 1982, and now they are currently the New Jersey Devils. So, there you go. So, yeah, they played 6 years there. I don't think Atlanta made it 6 years, did they?
I don't think so.
No, I'm gonna bing them here and look it up and see if I can get a time. They made it from they made it from 1999 to 2011. So
wow.
Yeah, they did it a little. I didn't think they were there that long, but yeah. Now, of course, like I said, since 2011 they've been the Winnipeg Jets. So. There you go. Yeah, I think, here they won one division title. Yeah, so they made one playoff appearance in their time in Atlanta.
Well, if you remember, they were trying to get out of Canada because of the money issue.
Yeah. Well, I do always kind of wonder, I understand that Atlanta is a major metropolitan city, and that's actually the headquarters of the company I work for is in Atlanta. But you would think by now sports leagues would realize that they just don't draw. The Braves had all those great teams for all those years with, Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin. They barely sold out. When the Hawks had Dominique Wilkins and they were a really good basketball team, they hardly sold out. The Falcons were the best team in the NFC last year, and I don't know if they sold out a game.
Yeah, but they're getting into the stadium.
I don't know what the hell they were thinking that they thought hockey would draw in Atlanta. I get you want to expand and, south is the way to go. But you look at like Arizona is just, that franchise has to find a new home. That's just not working out. And, the only reason the Kings are still in LA is because they got Gretzky traded there. Otherwise, they would probably be somewhere else. That franchise was hurting. And I don't even know. I know you're not going to know this either, but is the Dream, the WNBA team, even still playing in Atlanta? And I think they may have won a championship.
I don't know. They're not
I got to look here. I was on the
anymore, so.
They actually still are. The Atlanta Dream are currently 5-5. There you go. The hotbed for your WNBA station sports memory. All right, we're out of here for today. Dan is going to take tomorrow off, but if you check in at 5 o'clock, I'll see if I can get Schomburg Stu to fill in, and Stu and I will be here from 5 to 6. We have to bounce it up half hour early for Stu, so check it out, see if we're here. If not, maybe we're here Sunday. You're just going to have to bear with us. I hope we're here. Dan's going to the White Sox game, even though he's a Cubs fan. But still while we're on sportstimeradio.com, get over there and check that out. Link over to the Facebook page and like that, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. Hunt Dan and I down on Twitter too, we love that stuff. As always, thanks for listening to us live at the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com. Roll out.